Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We have a lot to get into. We're into this ridiculous Sam Darnold story. It's preposterous. You understand that there's a slot of how much you make. This is not about the amount of money that Sam Darnold will make. This is about the amount of guaranteed money if the Jets cut him. If the Jets cut Sam Darnold in year three, they might as well give away all of their money. They might as well forget about even being an organization anymore if the Jets cut Sam Darnold. And I get it. You say, well, what happens if he, you know, tears a knee in year two and he's not the same guy, or he's just Christian Hackenberg awful? You know what? If that happens, then this organization is doomed. But the bottom line is this, is that we're sitting here now 2 days into camp and your future star quarterback is not signed. And you can blame whoever you want. You can blame Darnold and his team. You can blame the Jets and their team. But yet you have to bring him in. It's preposterous that he's not here. So we'll get into that a little bit later. I know people are hot and upset about it. He's going to come in. Does he come in? It's not going to be Joey Bosa. Could you imagine that? Oh, my God. Where if it's like 5 days out from the start of the season, then he signs. I can't imagine that it comes down to that. I'm thinking that Darnold signs today or tomorrow. I mean, it can't be past Monday or Tuesday. But even so, do I want the future of my organization to come in 5 days late? It matters. It does. I don't care about the money aspect of it. I don't care if he accepts the offset language or he doesn't accept it and the Jets wind up winning that battle, but he has to get into camp, and that has to happen immediately. Mets lose last night. 3-0 lead on a Michael Conforto big home run. Then David Fries, former, I think it was the MVP of the World Series. He was terrific in the World Series for the Cardinals. He has all five RBIs for the Pirates, and the Mets lose 5-4. And you know what the bottom line is? Who cares? They trade Asdrubal Cabrera. That matters for another one of these prospects that is not supposed to be all that sensational. So take that for what it's worth. But if you're a Mets fan, it's seemingly more the same of having a guy who I would think has some real value, and you get a double-A pitcher who I guess at one point was a big prospect, and he's not at that same level anymore. So 800-919-3776. The Giants, apparently Eric Flowers is mightily struggling already. This was a concern of mine from the beginning, and a lot of people with this. No. You just take him and put him at right tackle and then you're fine. I love that. No. You just, as if you could take, you know, like Michelle. No. Michelle, she's undersized. You just take her and put her at right tackle and you're good. Now, Michelle, you don't believe, in fact, that you could play right tackle for the New York Football Giants, do you? Probably not, I would say. And I don't think Anthony could do it either, and I don't think I could. I'm certain that anyone outside of Chris Canty at our station could not play right tackle for the New York Giants. But that's the thought. No. You just put Eric Flowers out there, right tackle. Now, Eric Flowers, who was egregiously bad at left tackle last year, can you just pop him over to right? No, I don't think it just works like that. So we'll see. I know you can shift the line down that way and give him some tight end help and chip and all that stuff. But if you're bad, you're bad. And it's going to be a major, major issue. Now, Solder, I guess, looks good early on in camp for the New York Giants. So we'll get to the Giants a little bit. 800-919-3776. And of course, everyone's favorite, Stump Rothenberg, comes your way at 11:15. Tell me that you don't love the fact. I don't care that Dez Bryant isn't even a Cowboy anymore. Love the fact that Dez and the Cowboys and Sean Lee are just going back and forth and back and forth. And you're clueless and you're not. Sean Lee's a bad guy and Dez was an awful teammate and he's a snake. Oh, it is absolutely sensational. I hope it goes on forever. I hope Dez and Sean Lee and Jerry and Steven and Garrett and all of just back and forth and back and forth. And this thing goes on for absolutely ever. But we'll start with the Yankees and the Red Sox and the state of the Yankees and where they are right now. So watching the Red Sox game last night, and do you notice that they have not been scoring runs of late? And they had another one of these games last night against the Twins where they were not very good. They led 2-0 on a Jackie Bradley Jr. home run. Then you have an error in the seventh inning, because Sale was sensational again last night, 6 shutout innings. Error in the seventh. They get out of it with a double play. They're trailing 2-1. Kimbrel comes out for a 4-out save, and I'm watching the game. If you're the Yankees and you're 4 games out at the end of last night, you got to feel pretty good about yourself with the upcoming schedule. And Kimbrel comes out for a 4-out save, gets the out in the eighth, comes in the ninth, 2 outs, allows a double off the wall, which scores 2, and the Red Sox trail 3-2. Now, I don't like the Yankees, so I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, you know, one of the best closers in baseball is going to let this thing get away. But in the ninth, Xander Bogaerts, and if you haven't seen it, because I mean, people love this now, the exit velocity of the ball hit was 150, 70, 200, it could go faster than the speed of light, right? So Xander Bogaerts, I don't know that I've ever seen this, hits a line drive over the wall, not over the Green Monster, obviously, a line drive over the short wall in right field, lines it out faster than I've ever seen the ball get out. They say the exit velo on that was 112 miles an hour. So that's off Fernando Rodney, everybody's friend. We go to the 10th inning, tied at 3, bottom of the frame, first batter Mookie Betts, boom, over the Green Monster. Red Sox win 4-3, five games now behind the Yankees. So, I mean, listen. It's a real number. You look at the Yankee schedule. The Yankees rained out last night. My kids both had baseball last night. Yankees were not able to get that game in. You got a doubleheader today, split doubleheader, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Severino on the mound at 1 against Keller, whoever that might be. Severino checks in with a 14-3 ERA, 14-3 record, 2.63 ERA. Keller, I guess the numbers are okay. 3-4 with a 3.2 ERA. Now, good news for the Yankees, and this is going to start happening with all these garbage teams they play. The Royals, the Orioles, the White Sox, the Mets as well. I have one game against them. They're trading all their guys. Mike Moustakas is no longer a member of the Royals. So, I mean, you got to win these games. So Severino, 1 o'clock today, 7 o'clock tonight. Yesterday's scheduled starter, that's CC Sabathia against somebody by the name of Phil Meyer. So, look, we've been through this before. I still sit here and tell you that I love the fact that the Yankees have a great chance to win this division. Why? Because of their schedule. I'm hearing sports radio yesterday, and people are panicked. And don't get me wrong, Aaron Judge is sensational. He is. If you're starting a team, he's the kind of guy that you'd want to start your team with. But to tell me that over the next 3 or 4 weeks that the Yankees won't be absolutely fine with the lineup that they have and the schedule that they go up against outside of Boston for four next weekend, this could not be, you couldn't hand pick it. Like you walk into the grocery store and you say, I'll take those bananas. I'll take those grapes. That's what this is like for the Yankees. I'll take that team this weekend in the Royals. I'll take that team next week in the Orioles. And then I have the Red Sox, and that's not easy. And then I'll take the White Sox and the Royals and the Orioles, and it gets easier and easier as the schedule goes on. So all this sheer pandemonium of, oh God, no Sanchez, who's been awful all year, mind you, and now no Aaron Judge, and what in the world will we do? And by the way, I apologize. It was Devers that hit that long home run, the line drive home run, not Bogaerts last night. I'm watching it, and I don't even have the right recall from last night. And I think it was his 15th of the year, the lefty Devers, third baseman, who was on the DL recently. I don't get it. I don't get why the Yankees fan, and I heard it all day yesterday on everything I turned on and everybody I spoke to. I don't know how you overcome this one. You're playing the Royals this weekend. You could trot Michelle out to right field and you're probably going to win these games. You're playing the Orioles next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. You could trot anybody out there and win these games. They're 45 games under 500. I mean, how can they not win? Not how can they with this lack of talent out there. The Yankees are still a talented team. You still got Andujar. You got Torres back now. You got Stanton to play every day in right field. You got Hicks. You got Gardner. I mean, this idea that you got Greg Bird, and how will we possibly what? Beat the Royals? Beat the Orioles? I heard it from Canty yesterday. You know what's so funny? I talk to Canty about it all the time. And he's like, you know, I don't know. We have a lot of injuries and I don't know how we overcome and I'm very worried about it. And then I'll say, well, then you can have a one game wild card. Yeah, that doesn't worry me all that much. What, that doesn't worry you? Going up against Seattle or Oakland in one game, if you don't win this division, that's not the issue. The issue is the talent level that you have moving forward. Guys, they will be fine. All you have to do is go 2-2 next weekend against the Red Sox. The Red Sox have not been the same team since the break. Their schedule is multitudes harder than what the Yankees have. You're missing the boat. I'm telling you. This is, do you, Are you happy the Judge is out and Sanchez is out? God, no. But you have no reason to be sitting here in a panic. Are the Yankees in trouble? Are the Yankees done? They're fine. Absolutely fine. Now, five games is five games. Red Sox are tough. Red Sox are tough. But the fact that you don't have Judge and you don't have Sanchez, if we sat here and Judge was out for the year, I'd say, guys, freak out. I get it. But the fact is, he's out for about 3 weeks, maybe a month. Look at the schedule. Look at the Yankees schedule over the next 3 or 4 weeks. It could not be easier.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Jordan Renat. How are you?
Good. What's going on? I mean, nicer day today. Not going to rain on us.
Kind of not great. Tomorrow's supposed to be
better than yesterday. Yesterday, the Giants in the middle of practice ran inside to their bubble, went back outside, and then had to run inside and cut practice short because the weather was coming through.
I hope it's not a microcosm of the season. Now, I don't know if you know this. You probably do because you're a man who's very knowledgeable about many things. Canty and I are going to be out at Giants camp on Monday from 10 to 3. Is there a palpable buzz among the particulars that we're going to be out there?
Oh, absolutely. They're looking forward to it. Even more you than Canty because he makes that puppet comment every time I come on.
Yeah, thank you. So you'll be out there. And you here's what I want from you. I mean, I imagine the Beckhams and the Elis and the Barclays and the Snacks, Harrisons, and all those Atlantic columns are gonna see us and want to just run towards the set and come on with us. If they don't, when you're over talking to them during the media veil, you say, "All right, Landon, let's go. I got guys for you to talk to."
You got it. Yeah, absolutely. I expect that to be. It's you're like magnets. You know, like the attraction is that they see you and they just sort of float over there. Like they have to see what's going on, right? They're, whoa. Who are those two strikingly good-looking guys? I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I'm really BSing. So,
You're very accurate in the way I think it plays out on Monday. All right, so I know you heard my concerns because you texted me as I was discussing it. I'm still
I missed the beginning, though. All I heard was you talking about Flowers.
I'm very concerned about Eric Flowers at right tackle, Jordan.
There. You know what? Here's what. I mean, it's early in camp. And anything that happens, I mean, Eli had a rough day yesterday. The offense in general had a rough day, aside from, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. doing what he does in his first play, catches a 50-yard pass, and you're like, okay, I think I've seen enough. But the offense had a rough day, and you don't get crazy because it's one day of training camp, it's the second practice they had, right? No big deal.
I'm not crazy, Jordan. I'm not crazy off of Eric Flowers 2 days. I'm crazy off of Eric Flowers hasn't played well in years.
Well, I understand that. And here's my point. With the offensive line, it kind of reminded me, okay, this offensive line, first of all, it's a position where it takes time for these guys to gel, right? Usually, the real good offensive line units, it takes years. These are essentially five new guys, right? I'm certainly not making any excuses for Flowers. I'm just saying that the line in general, which to me yesterday had a pretty rough day, we have to remember this line isn't instantly going to be good. This is a process that they're going through here, and this is going to take time. And Eric Flowers is obviously the biggest concern. I'm not sold in any way, shape, or form that he's a starting caliber player in the NFL, at least one that you really want to start. You know, it's not just the pass blocking. He's never been a great run blocker either, right? So it's like, well, what does he really do well? And why
he,
is
he
all
doesn't do anything well
to the right side? Yeah, and why all of a sudden when he moves to the right side is he going to be good?
You know what? I'll tell you why it is, and I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But I'll tell you why it is because people think that left side is so unbelievably difficult, which it is. The right side is much easier, which it is. And this is still a big human being and was still a top 10 pick. So, you know what? We throw him there and he's fine. But I just think that's a big mistake. And you say, this is going to take time. Jordan, they don't have time for this to take. Those first seven games are brutal. And you get the toughest defense in football week one. Then you go to Dallas week two. Then you go J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney week three. You know, merciless as well. It may take time to develop. I don't know that they have time for this offensive line to really take time and develop.
I mean, that's fair, but that's why this is a project. I mean, they had an overhaul that needed to be done this offseason. with the offensive line and really with part of the roster. I mean, their depth on the roster wasn't good. We all know that. It's still probably not up to par of what the Giants would like it or what anybody would like it. So I don't know. There's no magic answer to it. I don't know. Maybe they can hide it for a few games. Maybe Pat Shurmur can scheme around it. I think that's the one positive. And you look at Eric Flowers, and I don't look, I'm not saying Flowers is going to be good, certainly, but the one positive is, okay, at least we know we have a serviceable, capable left tackle, right?
Yes, correct.
So now maybe we could scheme and we can concentrate on helping the other side. There's no need to worry about both sides, right? So maybe we only have half the problem now. I think that is maybe, I mean, we're really skirting for reasons.
No, you are. I'm very upset about the right tackle spot. You're skirting for answers.
I'm just saying, this is the Giants' optimism. I mean, they're day two of training camp. You got to hope that there's ways that they can work around these things, right? My biggest concern is that, okay, let's say they say, well, Eric Flowers certainly can't play right tackle. What do they really have behind Eric Flowers? They don't even have a Marshall Newhouse type, like that veteran swing tackle. So to me, yeah, that is one of the biggest concerns on this team. Pass rush was right up there with it. I think Connor Barwin a little bit helps that. You know what I mean? Helps you sleep a little better and feel better about that. He's a guy at least who has had, he actually had a double-digit sack season. You know, he actually has more than, this is an amazing stat. Before they signed Connor Barwin,
they had one guy with over five sacks in a season.
Another guy on the team, 3.5, and it was Landon Collins. Was the best season of any other guy in regards to sacks on the roster.
All right, let me get back. And Jordan Renan joining us on a Saturday. Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. How locked in is Flowers at right tackle? Like, is there a chance that he's just bad and Wheeler gets a shot? I mean, they're going to, I imagine, scour the waiver wire. Like, is this absolutely his job, or would you be not at all surprised if he was not the starting right tackle week one?
I think it could reach a point where if he doesn't play well this summer, that Chad Wheeler certainly gets a chance. I think that's completely reasonable possibility here, depending on how the summer plays. I mean, he's not guaranteed anything. The people who drafted him are gone, right? They're just the reason Eric Flowers is on the roster right now, Dave, is because his contract is guaranteed, right?
Yeah.
He has that rookie contract. He's still on that rookie deal. So the contract is guaranteed. So if they got rid of him, they were basically going to eat the contract. They'd eat the money anyway. So they said, hey, all right, he was a first-round talent, at least in the previous regimes. He was a significant talent. Let's just at least try him at right tackle before we move on from him. If his name was Joe Schmo and he was a fifth-round pick, with what happened in the past, including in the locker room and, you know, the whole end of last season.
Well, he would be on his way out along with Bobby Hart.
He would have been gone. He would be Bobby Hart. But instead, he's Eric Flowers because he was the first-round pick. And they have to pay him. So let's try it. Let's see if we can maybe get something out of him at right tackle. And that's what they're doing right now. And I think it's a process that'll last throughout the summer, but guaranteed nothing in my mind.
All right, give me some positivity. Beckham has looked sensational, right? How is Barkley look? Give us some things that we can be excited about with the Giants.
Odell Beckham Jr. is on the field. He's running routes. He's playing in live drills, which I think is surprising to many of us, me particularly. I know you and Canty also are probably very surprised after the conversations we've had over the last 6 months. I mean, he's putting a lot at risk by going out there in live drills, right? I mean, there was one yesterday where he went underneath and he bumped into a guy, got his feet tangled, and went to the ground. Like, that's a risky proposition for a guy who has 50, 60 million, 60 plus million guaranteed at stake. But you can see that he's the best player on the field already. I mean, his first play yesterday, one play, it took one play for him to beat his guy, go down the field, and catch a 50, 60-yard pass. And it was a great catch, fingertips, everything. I mean, he looks like Odell Beckham Jr., and you could tell that he is just the dynamic player that he was before he broke his ankle. So I think there's a lot of positives there. That whole contract thing is trending in the right direction now. Right. The Giants say they're going to talk to him soon, and that's going to happen. He's doing everything that's asked of him, and there's a lot of positives there. And then you have Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard. I mean, Evan Ingram, these guys all look pretty good. Obviously, we're 2 days in, but they have weapons. And you can see that at practice. So I think that's what you could hang your hat on and rely on. And one last thing. The defense yesterday looked tremendous. I mean, James Betcher's defense, and this is what he's known for, is bringing pressure and bringing it from a lot of different places. And they must – I mean, there's no sacks in practice, right, because there's no real hitting. So you basically run after the quarterback, and then you hold up when you get anywhere near it, and then the quarterback runs around and eventually throws the ball. But, I mean, there probably would have been like 7-8 sacks yesterday in practice from that defense.
You always feel good about that, and then you think to yourself, well, they're getting past our guys, so what really is the answer you're looking for? Go ahead.
Second-string offensive lineman, you also have to take into consideration. Think about it. Backup defensive ends are guys who basically are part of the rotation and play, and they're pass rush specialists with the first team, right? And they go against second-team offensive linemen who a lot of them – really can't play. Most of them don't make the roster. I mean, the second team left tackle is a guy named Nick Becton. You know, so they have a lot of second string defensive ends or outside linebackers that they are now for the Giants. They have a lot of success, and that's part of the reason why the pressure always seems to be on quarterbacks in these kind of settings.
Give us a couple names, Jordan, that we should kind of keep our ears open for this preseason. Not Barkley, not Beckham, like the guys who you've seen that the Giants are really intrigued by that have a chance to make some noise on this team.
Yeah, B.J. Goodson's obviously one. You know, he's been injured a bunch up and down, but he's a guy who's pretty much, if he can stay healthy, is going to be penciled into that middle linebacker spot next to Alec Ogletree, who they traded for. And he's a guy that they like, and they could see being a good, quality, successful player. The secondary, Curtis Riley is a guy that they seem to like at safety. There's a big competition for that free safety job that's up for grabs, but Curtis Riley is the name to watch. Most Giants fans probably never even heard of Curtis Riley, right? He came from the Tennessee Titans, never really did much there, but he's a guy that's in that mix for that starting safety job right now. So Dante Dion, I wouldn't be surprised if you tell me Dante Dion is their starting nickel cornerback this year. I mean, he's a guy that's been around for a couple of years, really hasn't played a ton, but that's a name that I would definitely watch. And on offense, you know all the big names. I think we basically know all the big names.
Is Latimer going to be the third receiver?
Right now he's the leader in the clubhouse, but I'll be honest, I'm not really that impressed with it. Every time I turn around, he seems to drop a pass, in practice. So and he's really what has he done? What is he doing? His 4 years in Denver, right?
Well, he's a special teams guy, right? Is that's why they brought him in?
I'm talking about offense.
Right.
The coach likes him. The wide receivers coach was his wide receivers coach in Denver. They like this potential. He actually last year was his most productive season, so I think they see something there. But I mean, I'm not sold yet. Maybe I will be. I mean, he definitely has skills, but I'm not sure who's going to win that spot. To be honest with you.
Well, who's he realistically up against that could win it from him?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. There's not a ton of guys.
There's not Murderer's Row behind him.
Yeah, Hunter Sharp. I think Russell Shepard is the guy who's eventually going to make some noise. He's actually a guy that you know.
Is that the old Panthers?
He's an NFL player, and he has played in Carolina.
Yeah.
And he was a Dave Gettleman guy, right? And so he's obviously one of the guys that this regime thought enough of to bring in this offseason. And he's had at least a decent season in the NFL. So if I had to, guess which of those other receivers, not named Beckham, Shepard, or Ingram, are going to have the most catches, I might bet on Russell Shepard.
Well, you know what? They got a lot of talent besides that third wide receiver, so I think that they'll wind up being okay no matter who it's going to be. All right, Jordan, listen.
Yeah,
have
that
a great weekend.
Receivers are going to catch 60 passes, right? I mean,
well, that the third wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do nothing.
Behind Shepard and Beckham.
Yeah, you got Shepard, you got Beckham, you got Ingram, who's really like a glorified wide receiver, and you got Barkley.
How many passes is that guy going to catch?
60 to me is a high number.
Yeah, like I said, there's no way he's going to catch 60.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you probably get, I don't know, you get 34 catches from the third receiver?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who was the third receiver on the Minnesota Vikings last year, right? They had Thielen, Diggs, and then their tight end Rudolph, and they were throwing the ball out before he got injured to Dalvin Cook and
McKinnon came in and caught a lot of passes as well.
Yeah. Their third wide receiver, by the way, I think it was Jarius Wright. And so he played in the slot. No, you never heard of him. I think that's sort of what the Giants' third receiver is going to be like.
All right, Jordan, listen, have a great weekend. I'm going to see you bright and early Monday morning, Giants camp, and I look forward to it.
I'll be here. Tell me, what are you looking forward to today? What do you want to see?
I want to see health. Health's the biggest thing to me. I want to leave there feeling like team chemistry is at a high level, because that was to me the thing last year. And I think that you're not going to see that on the field during preseason, but to kind of feel that as you go to camp, as someone that's going to be able to see the intricacies of what's going on, that's what I want to see. Team chemistry.
Well, I'll leave you with this. Dave Gettleman yesterday when he spoke, by the way, cancer-free, good news.
Great.
Gotta like even hear that. He added a little comment right at the end about Connor Barwin, about why they signed him, and he said he wanted to add one more of those veterans to the room. And I think that goes right along with what you said there about camaraderie and being a much closer unit.
Hopefully this is a much better team, because I don't know that I can live through another 3-13 season. Jordan, I appreciate it. I will see you Monday morning. Have a great weekend, bud.
See you, Dave. Enjoy.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We started the show discussing the Yankees and how I've said, and I stand by it, and 800-919-3776 phone lines open for you guys on wherever you want to go, Giants, Jets, Mets, Yankees. About the Yankees and how it's not that their lineup is great now, and certainly without Judge and Sanchez, you worry about a little bit of the offense because you'd be foolish not to. But the reason that you really don't is it's not even Yankees related. It's that the opposition every single day is inferior outside of that 4-game set against the Red Sox. So you got 3 more against the Royals, 2 today, 1 tomorrow. You got 2 against the Orioles. I mean, you can't be worse than 4-1 in those 5 games. And people will say, yeah, but they've struggled against the Orioles in the past. The Orioles are a shell of what they were when they last lost to the Yankees. They've traded their best pitcher to the Yankees in Zach Britton, and they've traded their best offensive piece in Manny Machado to the Dodgers. And that's what they are now. By Tuesday, I mean, Brad Brock might not be there. Dylan Bundy could not be there. Adam Jones could not be there. God knows what that'll look like on Tuesday. I have the Royals lineup for today and for the game one. And this is exactly why when you look at the Yankees, you have to feel good about the matchup. You got Severino on the mound, and you go up against Whit Merrifield, who's a nice player leading off. Herrera batting second and DHing. Sal Perez, your catcher's batting third, and he's a good player. Lucas Duda is cleaning up for the Royals. Jorge Bonifacio, Alex Gordon, Brian Goodwin, whoever that is, Alcides Escobar, and Mondesi at short. I mean, it's a minor league team is what the Royals throw out there. And their starting pitchers, who, Keller in this game? Come on. So I get it. I don't love the Judge injury either. But with the opposition that they go up against, I mean, I'm listening to sports talk radio yesterday. Oh, are you ready to concede the division? Concede the division? You're 3 games in the loss column behind Boston. You're the Yankees, for God's sakes. You got more talent on this team when half of them are hurt than 3/4 of the baseball anyway. Concede the division. It's embarrassing to have a conversation like that. You have 10 games left with Boston. You're 30 games over 500. The Red Sox haven't had a slip up yet. Concede the division. Are you ready to just concede the division and give it to Boston and admit that? Give me a break. You have 60 games left this season. Concede the division. 800-919-3776. And then I get callers today. Well, Eli Manning, I mean, you'll see he's hanging on by a thread. He's got nothing left. Listen, you could be right. All right, we might get to the end of the season where the offensive line is functional and Eli's just not good. And I guess he wasn't good in practice yesterday. But you know what? There are certain guys that deserve, and you know, and I've said it, and I screamed it from the rooftops. By the way, how great is it the football's here? That Eli Manning should have had his replacement brought in this offseason. The Giants should have brought in Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. Those are the guys. So it's not that I don't see the end written for Eli Manning. But if you're able to call me and say Eli Manning is done, he has nothing left, then you know something that a lot of people don't really know, and don't really believe. And I don't believe it. I think Eli's got something left. And I will sit here and tell you till I'm blue in the face that I'm uncertain at what level he's going to play this year or next year. I still think he's got something. To sit here and tell me that Eli's got nothing, don't you have to give him the benefit of the doubt? I mean, this guy is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Even if you're the mindset of, no, Eli, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's won two Super Bowls. And I believe that if you fix, and not the Cowboys offensive line, but if you make this offensive line serviceable, which they hope that they have, and you can run the football, that all of a sudden, the awful, terrible, unplayable Eli Manning. You know what? All of a sudden, he's a lot better quarterback than he was without those things. And I believe in him. And I think if you're one of the people that just thinks Eli is 100% done, that you're missing the boat. Like, to me, it doesn't start and end with Eli. Can Eli do what Russell Wilson does? And you take an offensive line, which is God awful, and go out there and dominate a game and run around like a chicken with his head cut off and just take advantage of everything and buy himself time? God, no. But if you give Eli Manning a functional offensive line, do I think he's got something left? I do. 800-919-3776. Tom in the car. Tom, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Understand is that there are certain people who have never liked Eli. I mean, they're pathological about it. I have a neighbor who's a season ticket holder who thinks he talks about Eli as if he were the worst quarterback forever.
If you're of the mindset that Eli Manning has been an awful quarterback throughout his career, I don't know that we're watching the same game.
You're insane. There's something pathological about the dislike, the hatred. But you know what? And, oh, well, he hasn't won in 10 years. Okay, here's the thing. Ben Roethlisberger's a great quarterback. I think that's an objective statement of fact. Has Ben Roethlisberger played in a organization that's had better coaching stability? Yes. A better defense? Yes. Better tight ends? Yes. Better running back? Please.
Better offensive line?
Generally? A better offensive line? How about receivers? There's an argument that their primary receiver is a lot better than OBJ. And OBJ has had tremendous production when he's
been right. Listen, Roethlisberger is great. He is great. He's first ballot Hall of Fame. He's won two. He's been to three. He's in the playoffs every year. He's sensational. But just because, and thanks for the call, Tom, just because Big Ben has been great, well, I don't understand why we have to knock Eli. Because when he gets intercepted, he makes an aw shucks face. Because he's not this wild, maniacal leader that you feel like he would lay down his life to win a game. You know, he has, I guess, these foibles which you look at and you say, yeah, I don't love that. Does he make bad throws? Does he throw off his back foot? Does he throw at the ankles of running backs? Does he have flaws? God, yeah. Does he ever miss a game? You know, Beckham has been terrific, but it's not like Beckham is throwing the ball to himself. 3 years ago, Eli Manning had a sensational season. When they actually, and this is so weird, when they originally brought in McAdoo to work with Eli, he had two really good years. And when McAdoo became the head coach, and again, what is it? When Eli Manning had a really good offensive line, Eli Manning was really good. When Eli Manning has a really bad offensive line, Eli Manning is really bad. You tell me. Now, if the offensive line is good, I will be stunned if the offensive line is average or above and Eli Manning has a bad season. Stunned with the amount of talent and weapons that he has. You really think outside of Aaron Rodgers, I guess Brady, that there are 10, 12, 14 quarterbacks that have had big success that Eli Manning has had around him for the last 2 or 3 years? Do you really believe that? With no offensive line, with a left tackle that is bad to make you desperate for Marshall Newhouse, with Orleans Darkwa as the best running back that this guy has had, that there are a lot of quarterbacks that would have given you better than Eli Manning? I say no. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Mike, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi. I was just calling to call about the Giants, comparing them to the Steelers. I feel like, listen, Eli got us to the playoffs.
Mike, before we even start with this conversation, who compared the Giants to the Steelers?
Well, that's what I feel like is an even comparison, being that they both have, like, older quarterbacks. And you know what? The build of the team is kind of the same.
Roethlisberger has had way more talent the last couple of years than Eli Manning.
I mean, we're just starting to get to that point, though.
No, I think we've been there for years that Roethlisberger has had way more talent than Eli Manning.
I'm trying to.
They have a really good offensive line, and they have possibly the best running back in all of football.
We got one of the best ones that came out.
Now? So we think? We haven't had it. I mean, was he on the team last year?
Listen, man, I'm trying to be a hopeful kind of fan, all right? I'm not trying to lose hope, okay?
Listen, I don't know what's happening. Thanks for the call, Mike, to be honest with you. Well, we got one now. Yeah, now you do. They've had Le'Veon Bell for years. The guy's great. Their offensive line is really good. They got a better tight end than the Giants have had up until now. And Roethlisberger's good. Listen, if you told me that you like Roethlisberger better than Eli, I'm not going to argue with you. I think Roethlisberger's a terrific, terrific quarterback. But stop with the knocking this guy. He's got nothing left. You don't know that. You could be right, I guess, but you don't know it. That's not factual. Rodgers is great. Factual. Russell Wilson would probably be better with this offensive line than Eli because he's able to avoid the rush. Factual. Eli Manning is done. Not factual.
He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try. We'll see if there's any success. 800-919-3776. I believe it was just last week, Michelle. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I was unbelievable. Like questions were flying like bullets and I was dodging them like Bruce Lee. Like I was incredible last week, wasn't I?
Yes, you were very good last week.
All right. We'll see if we can continue that. Michelle, would you like to start out a Saturday edition of Stump Rothenberg?
Sure. So I'm going to go music.
Music. All right. So you're going for my Achilles heel. I like the way you're going after this. Go ahead.
What is the most downloaded song recorded in the 20th century?
Most downloaded song recorded in the... All right. So it's got to be something... I don't know. Why would you ask 20th century? is there old Beethoven that's received a lot of downloads that I don't know about?
No.
All right, it's got to be like a Britney Spears kind of song.
No.
Is it one of these young, like a Taylor Swift-ish stuff?
No.
Is it an older song?
Yeah.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't know. Boy, is it a band that you think I've heard of?
I know it's a band you've heard of.
You know it's a band I've heard of?
Mm-hmm. And I know you know the song.
You know what? Do you think I like the song?
Yes.
Is it like a Grateful Dead, a Journey, a Van Halen? Is it anywhere
it's,
in that?
It's in that group you just named.
It is?
Yes.
It's not going to be Grateful Dead because they're like a specific way. So it's going to be, it's not, so it's Journey.
Yes.
It is.
But what's the song?
I don't know. I don't know. Is it Don't Stop Believing?
Is it
really?
Yeah.
Is the most downloaded song of the 20th century?
Yep.
I can't take credit for that. There was a lot of legwork that I can't. I'm not one for one. I'm not. I backed my way into answering that one. John in Springfield. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How are you, John?
So, believe it or not, since 2009, the Knicks have had six players on an all-NBA rookie team. Can you name at least five of those six?
Oh, God. All-NBA rookies for the Knicks?
Yes, sir.
Since 2009. Well, yes, I guess the Latvian would have to be there, right?
One.
Now, is this solely first team?
One second team player, but I'm not including him. So these are five
was
on the
Langston
first team.
Galloway?
Second team.
So that counts or no?
That counts.
Was Tim Hardaway?
Three.
Willie Hernan Gomez, wasn't he a first team all rookie?
Four.
Oh God, this is you have to laugh, otherwise you start crying. Oh, God. Was Shumpert all rookie?
Five.
And then Landry Fields was probably all rookie.
Landry Fields, you got it.
That's right. Stanford. Now that's an answer, baby. All right. We're rolling along now. I'm going to say we're one for two, but I guess we're in the area of kind of being two for two. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Mike? Where are we going here? What's the topic that you're going to ask me?
Last week I had you pick your poison, and you went with the factual question, not the movie quote. So here's the movie quote.
Did I get it right or I got it wrong?
No, you got it wrong.
Uh-huh.
But here's the movie quote. Ready?
Okay.
Come on, Banks. You're supposed to be hitting a sled, not humping a butterfly.
The sled.
It is a sport movie.
It's a sport movie. Come on, Banks, you're supposed to be hitting the sled.
Not humping a butterfly.
Not humping a butterfly. Huh. You think I've seen this movie?
Yes.
Banks. Is Banks the character that he's talking to?
Correct.
Is it... Ugh, is it a terrible football movie?
I mean, I don't think it's a terrible football movie.
It's that Jason Bateman football movie, isn't it?
You are right there.
Now I can't
right
think
there.
Of any. Sinbad is in that movie, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And Gennaro, is Gennaro the head coach in that movie?
He sure is.
Oh, God, now I got to think of the name of the movie. Kathy Ireland is the kicker, the place kicker in that movie.
She sure is. You're missing the quarterback.
Scott Bakula played the quarterback in that movie. And I can't think of the name of the movie.
And the gentleman that said the quote is played by Robert Loggia.
Robert Loggia, who was the head coach who wound up in the hospital, correct?
No, he's the assistant coach.
Oh, he's the assistant who took over for the head coach. Necessary Roughness.
There you go, big man.
Oh, look at me. All right, roll along. Stump Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Let's go to Corey in Sayreville. Corey, are you ready for a little Stump Rothenberg today?
Yes, sir. St. Dave.
Oh, and I like that. What's the genre? The genre would be?
Genre is I'll just say it's your wheelhouse. We'll go with that. But right.
So you expect me to get this correct? You expect me to get this?
I would hope so, man. I would hope so.
All right.
Which NFL quarterback holds the record for most single-season fourth-quarter comebacks?
Now, you're making me feel like this is so easy and I should absolutely know it.
I will give you a hint. I've called
is
on your
Matthew
show before
is it Matthew
to defend
Stafford?
A certain player using this. It's definitely not Matthew Stafford, so just don't say that.
It's not Matthew Stafford, because Matthew Stafford had a ton of comebacks.
No, but in one single season.
I thought he had... I thought when they came back and won like every game 2 years ago that he had... That he had the most.
Well, in 2011, Eli Manning, on his route to the Super Bowl in a 9-7 regular season, had seven regular season fourth quarter comebacks in 2-0.
I thought Stafford had more than that, though.
I was more calling to, I guess, defend my man Eli Manning. So you're smarter than me, Dave. I'm not going to say that I'm 100% right, but from what I remember, Matthew Stafford can't hold a torch to a two-time Super Bowl.
Listen, I'm not comparing. And Stafford's a terrific quarterback. Don't undersell him. And thanks.
Oh,
for
great
the phone
quarterback,
call.
Great quarterback. But
appreciate the phone call. Here's what
you're
I'm
right.
Saying,
by the way,
Anthony.
Dave.
What?
You're right. By the way,
it's
Stafford
Matthew
has
Stafford.
Eight. He has eight from 2016.
Right. Remember that the year they came back from in every game in the fourth quarter. So play the ding for me now, please, Michelle. I'll wait. There you go. I knew it was Matthew Stafford. All right, Anthony, you're playing, right? Anthony? He's screening now. So now I'm turning to Anthony. Now he's screening the calls. All right, we'll go to Spike in Jersey. Spike, and by the way, I'm red hot again. Spike, how are you this morning?
I'm terrific. It's always good to hear you. Five Hall of Famers lead the NFL all time in touchdowns, running or caught. I want you to reel them off. You don't have to give me an order.
So just not throwing then?
No, not throwing, right.
All right, so you got Jerry Rice.
One.
Emmitt Smith.
Two.
Tomlinson.
Three.
Terrell Owens.
Five.
So I'm missing the fourth guy?
Yep.
Then Marcus Allen should be in the top ten.
Six.
So I'm just missing four.
I'm missing four, man.
Chris Carter's in there.
Chris Carter's an eight.
Marshall Faulk?
No, come on. Give me four. They caught a million touchdowns. Tall guy, long guy.
Randy Moss.
Thank you. That's a win.
There you go. That's another win. Michelle, if you would. Red hot. Okay, Anthony, you playing today? Thanks, Spike. I appreciate it. Anthony, you playing?
Yes, Dave. I'm playing.
All right. I'm scalding hot.
I know. I'm nervous.
All right. Go ahead.
But in the 1984 vice presidential debates, who was George H.W. Bush's opponent?
84 vice presidential debates. Oh, my goodness. So Bush went up against Mondale, I think, wasn't it?
That is incorrect.
Then it's Geraldine Ferraro. Mondale.
Correct.
President
Ferraro. All right, so you know it's second try.
Geraldine Ferraro, right. All right. That's okay. Not terrible. 800-919-3776. We're going to end on a high note. Let's go to Ryan in Long Island. Ryan, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how's it going?
By the way, it's good. By the way, Anthony, that's a good question. That kind of question, excellent question. Go ahead.
Hank Aaron played 23 seasons in the major leagues. How many All-Star games
None.
Did he play?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say how many homers of over 50 did he have. Hank Aaron had a million. How many, what is it, All-Star appearances?
How many All-Star games? Yep.
He had a million. I think he played in 22.
He played in 25.
Ah. 25. All right. Okay. And I think he never hit 50 home runs, which is a great question. All right. Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, in the history of baseball, yeah. Only one catcher has caught two perfect games. Name the catcher and the two pitches he caught him. I'll give you a hint. It's within the last 40 years.
So one catcher has caught two perfect games.
Only player ever to do it. Only catcher ever to do it. And if you can name the catcher, it'd be great. And the two pitchers. And it's within the last 40 years.
All right. I think it's Ron Hassey.
Very good. So I'll give you credit for getting the question right, because you need the two pitchers.
Well, I know Len Barker in 81 on the Indians was one of them.
Very good.
And now I have to think about the other.
I've already given you the thumbs up. You got the answer right.
So I believe it's El Presidente is the other.
You're unbelievable, Dave.
Anthony, I say El Presidente. Do you have any idea who we're talking about?
Unfortunately, I do not.
No, but you are eating a mouthful of yogurt at the moment. Denny Martinez would be El Presidente. And there we have it. Finishing on a high note like we like to do, another edition of Stump Rothenberg.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.